Solomon chapter 2. We're picking up, trying to anyway, where we had started this morning. And pray that God will help us tonight to share this with you. Stand, please, while we read. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse number 15. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. There's a whole lot to be said about that. And these young folk are some of our tender grapes we need to be taken care of, that the little foxes don't come in and run them and take them and hurt them and destroy the crop, if you please. I like what our brother said a while ago, that a generation that knows not God, and we're living in a generation that knows not God, but I'm glad there's a remnant that knows the Lord and got the only answer there is to help people really get right with God, to really have a life, to have anything worth living for, and then eternity out there. Let's bow our heads and pray. Ask God to help us tonight. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege of prayer. And thank you tonight, Lord, for these who have come and shared with us. And I praise your name for the home that's here, and ask you, God, to bless those as they labor with them and those young men that live for God. And I pray for them. I pray, God, for our young people. Thank you that parents care enough to get them in the house of God, and those that do get them here and those that bring others to come, I thank you and praise you. I pray you'd help them. Then, Father, tonight, I'm thinking about Brother Grant, and I pray for him and his family tonight that you would give them grace and strength. Then the family that Sister Jordan mentioned, I pray for them. I pray, God, you'd help at church, and I pray for the families involved in that you'd encourage and strengthen and help. Then, Father, tonight we come, and Lord, we're made of keenly aware of the fact that we have a lot to praise you about and thank you for, and we tonight bow our unworthy heads and say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness unto us. And then, Father, you surely have been good to us. But now as we look forward to revival time and then just our lives living for you day by day, I pray you'd help us. And tonight, may the power of the Holy Spirit move upon us. I pray illuminate our minds, loose our tongues, help us to think, and help us be bold, help us be compassionate. And I pray share the word of God. Speak to hearts, bring salvation, conviction, bring salvation where it's needed. Lord, there's some here tonight that my heart is reaching out to you and asking you to help us. God, as we pray for them, and Lord, that we might move in the realm of faith and believe you, God, to do in that heart, that mind, what needs to be done tonight. I pray in Jesus' name and for his glory, amen and amen. You may be seated. We're talking about the little foxes that spoil the vine. We mentioned this morning about the fox being sly and so forth and smart and how he gets through a small place and gets in. And little foxes, like puppies, chew on things and tire them up. But what I really tried to center in on this morning was the fact of that word little foxes. And a lot of times we see big things, but we need to see what God says in his word about some little things. And this morning we started out by turning back to Proverbs chapter 6, and we talked about a little laziness. It talks about folding your hands. It talks about just not doing anything. And to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it's sin. And so that, we need to look at that and say, and I call that one a little laziness on the part of spirituality of our lives and what we do and serving God and living for God and having a testimony for the Lord. And then after that, we went to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1. And as we looked at that verse, and we thought about a little folly, a little foolishness can mess up a reputation. I think about what Sister Jordan said as she testified a while ago about that man that got killed in the car wreck. and goes up there where Brother Turner pastors, and surely that church, he had a testimony, but I'm glad there wasn't any foolishness following in his life that messed up that reputation, that he kept it so he could have a good testimony. When he left out of here, he left a good testimony, and Sister Jordan and others could see that and know that it's real and that it's right. I want to leave out with the right kind of a testimony. I want to leave, amen. But a little foolishness can mess it up. Just a little mess up can mess you up, hurt you. It takes a time to ever build it back. I said this morning, I thank God he'll help us. He doesn't throw the clay away, but it's a whole lot better if we just keep a good testimony for God, living for God day by day, and let God help us. Then in Zechariah, we talked about the fact of this thing of little thankfulness, not being thankful like we should for little things. I'm glad I could get out of bed this morning. I'm thankful I could walk, stand up on my legs and walk. Thank God for that. And they hurt. My back hurts, but I could get up and I could walk and I could get to church. I say glory to God. I got a lot to be thankful for. Praise God for the reality of that. I thank God for the privilege that we have to have food to eat, clothes to wear, a place to meet like this. I mean, glory. That couple was from Scotland with Sister April's parents the other week. We came in, and they'd seen some of the Jubilee on a DVD. And she stood here, and she just looked around and said, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm here. You know what? She had seen that on that DVD, and she had saw what God was doing. It stirred her heart. And she was thankful. And you and I take for granted that we have a place to come like this and worship God. And even tonight, what we've had in this service has been enough to make us want to say, praise the Lord. Ain't been enough said here tonight. Enough good spirit of God, enough power of God to stir our hearts and say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness unto us. Amen. And praise his name. Now, fourthly tonight, I want you to turn with me, please, in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And we'll look at a verse of scripture here and talk about a little faith. And here Jesus has been talking to him about no man can serve two masters and so forth. And then he talks about it, God taking care of us, take care of the fowls of the air. He feeds them. And said the lilies, Solomon off his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. And what he's trying to drive home, the point is, that if God can take care of the flowers and God can take care of the birds, God can certainly take care of us, his children. Amen. Look at verse number 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? But let me skip down to verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's seek God first, then these things will be added unto you. And we're living in a day and a time when folk are concerned about the economy and that kind of thing. And I guess everybody is to a certain degree. We might act like we're not and say we're not, but yeah, we all are concerned about putting food on the table and taking care of our families. I'm sure of that to a degree. But it ought not to overwhelm us. It ought not be the first thing in our life. First thing in our life is that we ought to seek God and seek him. Amen. And if we seek God right, then he said, I'll add these other things unto you. He'll take care of the rest of it. And I don't understand how God does what he does, but God does what he does, the way he does it, how he wants to do it, and when he wants to do it. And I say, hallelujah. And God is always on time, is never late, has always supplied. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, Paul told the Philippian church. And I join with him and echo that truth, that God supplies all of our need. But here he said, O ye of little faith. And that struck a note in my heart. And I thought about it this afternoon. I was contemplating a little bit on what I'm saying right now, what I'm going to talk about here. And I was thinking about that. O ye of little faith. And we believe God to save us. Thank God he did. I'm glad he did. And the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're hearing that tonight. And faith this morning, we open the word of God. But I'm thinking about a request that was made to me this morning and about someone. And my heart cries to God tonight that that person, did I really believe that God would speak to them? And did I really get a hold of God and believe that God would do that? When we see folk come in and you invite unsaved and they come in, do we really step in the realm of faith and trust God to bring conviction? Now, I realize the fact I cannot get saved for anybody. I cannot make that step of faith and trust Jesus for them. But I believe this with all my heart. I can pray, get a hold of God, and believe that God is going to move in their direction and that something will happen. They may not get saved, but I believe they'll know that God moved in, that God got a hold of them, God did something. And I do pray for that. And I'll be honest with you, make honest confession tonight. I had some doubts about that and wondered. I heard some things, and then you have doubts that anything will happen. But oh, tonight, I want to move in that realm of faith and believe that my God can and will do something. Amen. I got a burden tonight. Hey, somebody here tonight is going to die without Jesus one of these days if you don't get saved and born in the family of God. And wouldn't that be an awful thing to think of? But oh, tonight, a Savior that I know wants to save them. And the Holy Spirit that spoke to me and convicted me and drew me is the same one that can get a hold of that heart and get a hold of that person and make them realize what they need. And you say, preacher, they're hard. They're a hard case. I realize that people are different stages of their life. But I want you to tell you tonight, my God is able to speak to any heart, is able to reach inside of any mind and really let them know there's a living God in heaven that loves them and cares about them, a Christ that died for them and wants to save them, and the Holy Spirit that's drawing them, and they can come and be saved. Tonight, hallelujah. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see him come and just bow here and ask God to save them by his marvelous grace? And preacher, can that happen? I believe it can. I believe it can. And I'm trying right now to move in that direction of believing that my God will do something. And tonight what they do with it is between them and God. But I can sure believe that God's going to do something. And God tonight, they'd let them come back tonight. And God got a hold of my heart sitting there and said, they're back. And you better do tonight. You better start believing on something. Amen. And believing God for something. You say, preacher, we're not talking about ifs tonight. We're talking about God doing something. Amen. And God, the results is up to God. All I can do is preach and try my best by the help of God to give out the word of God and share Jesus Christ with you. But I'm telling you, Jesus loves you. And Jesus wants to save you and birth you in the family of God and make you a child of God. And you don't have to be lost. You don't have to go to hell. You can come to Christ and be saved and go to glory. And one step inside of glory, you'll thank God that some preacher stood and preached to you the truth and tried to tell you how to be saved and that you need to come to know Jesus Christ. And you ought to be thankful tonight. Hey, some people love you enough to get you here. And then you ought to thank God that some people praying for you and believing God to speak to your heart and deal with your life and get a hold of you. And I say hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Got that off my heart. I feel better. Amen. Praise God. I desire to see God do that. Amen. And believe him to do it. God's able. I realize the fact I'm not able. I'm incapable. My preaching is incapable and all that. But I know God is able to reach down, do something I can't do. We're able to reach in a heart I can't reach. And get inside of a person's mind and help them to think like they need to think. You know, an unsaved person don't think right. They think, I don't have to hear that. I don't have to do that. It's foolishness. It's silly. But oh, listen, if the Holy Spirit moves in that mind and begins to work, they begin to think, you know, this life will soon be over. And I'm going in eternity. I'd like to meet God with the right kind of way. I'd like to be ready to meet God. Amen. And God can move in minds and help them think that way. And then in their heart can move enough so they can see, realize Jesus loves them, wants to save them. And they can come and know Christ as Lord and Savior. Oh, ye of little faith. It's little foxes that spoil the vine. We're heading into a revival meeting soon, just a few weeks away. And a whole lot of what results come from that will be how you and I believe God. Whether or not we believe God for something or we don't believe God for something. A whole lot has to do with us. Hey, God honors faith. Faith honors God. And you read Hebrews 11 and all through the Bible. When men moved by faith, God did something. And God said, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Forgive their sin, heal their land. I believe God meant what he's saying. Then a responsibility falls back on me and you. We move in that realm of humility and prayer and asking God and believing God and trusting God for it. Amen. And so the little things, I realize I got a few more I'm going to throw in here tonight, but I want you to get this tonight. Oh, ye of little faith, that we might believe God. Even Jesus rebuked his disciples for having little faith. When they had the storm, he was in the ship asleep, you remember? And had to wake him up, and they got him out there. And he said, told them they had a little faith. They didn't believe God, unbelief. And down to the foot of the mount when they brought the boy. Man brought the boy down to the foot of Mount Transfiguration. They couldn't help him. And Jesus then did what needed to be done. And disciples came to Jesus later and said, why could we not help him? And here's what Jesus said. He said, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. And so tonight, I'm thoroughly convinced that our unbelief hinders God. You know why Israel did not go into Kadesh, or did not at Kadesh Barnea go into Canaan when they got there the first time? Because they did not believe God. They refused to believe that God would give them that land, and they refused to go in and did not have the victory. Same reason why you and I don't have victory in our life. We do not believe God to give us the victory. And I say hallelujah. He's as able tonight to give victory as he ever was. Won't you turn with me, please, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. Gospel of Luke chapter number 7. Now here Simon has invited Jesus into his home. And he's a Pharisee. And you got to keep that in mind when you read the story to get it all in context. He's a Pharisee, and so he's dependent on his works and his goodness to get him to heaven. As a woman comes in, and she's anoints him and weeping and wiping his feet. Verse number 40, Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Now Simon in his heart had already looked at that woman and judged her and said she's a bad woman, she's ungodly, she's not the right kind. And she came in, and here's what Jesus said she'd been doing. And thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, have not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. I say to you, now he's not talking about a person that's been a drunk or whatever you want to say about that, and loved Jesus more than somebody that was an unsaved church member got saved. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the fact that Simon was dependent upon his good works to get him there, and here's a woman been forgiven of her sins. It's like the publican, the Pharisees went up to the house of God to pray our prayer, and the Pharisees, he stood over there by himself and said, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, even as this publican over here. I do this and I do that and I do the other. But that publican wouldn't even lift his eyes toward heaven, but smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God said, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Hey, Simon invited Jesus in, but he really didn't have his heart where Jesus had his heart. And when this woman come in, instead of having compassion on her and caring about her, he thought Jesus ought to run her off, not let her do what she was doing. All she was doing was loving on Jesus, and not in a bad sense of the word, but in the right kind of way spiritually, because she knew in her heart that he was the Savior and believed that because he forgave her of her sin. She came to him, and she was doing, and she was weeping. I believe she's weeping tears of repentance and sorry of what kind of life she had lived and how she'd done her life. And now here she is at the feet of Jesus, and doing all she knows to do is just kiss him and weep over him and anoint his feet and wipe him with the hairs of her head. And Jesus saw that love and said, she's forgiven. She loves much. And they sang that song a while ago. Have I mentioned to you, I love him, amen. I say hallelujah. Why do you love him, preacher? Because he forgave me much. Amen. Amen. I wasn't a drunk. I wasn't a drug addict. But I want you to know God loved me much. He forgave me much and took much away from me. I say glory, hallelujah. I'm glad it's real to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight that you can love him and much? But he, you know why some folk don't love him much? Because he never forgave them much. They just hadn't let him forgive them of anything. They hadn't been saved. They don't know Jesus. You know why you don't really love him tonight? Because you don't really let him love you and save you. Then you'd have much to love him about and praise his name. Little love. And I believe if we're not careful, though, our love grows cold. Over in Revelation 2 and 4, talking to the church at Ephesus, said, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love, that first love. And you know how that first love, and I heard somebody talking the other day about men and women driving, you know, and when they're going together, the woman sits over real close, and they get real close together, and then they get married, and after a while, they begin to move over. Somebody's asking the man about that and said, Why aren't we sitting as close as we used to? Of course, he's driving. He said, well, I'm the same place I've always been. Amen. And it's the woman that had moved over. And let me say to you tonight, Jesus is the same place he's always been. If anybody's moved, it's us, not him. If we're further away from him, it's because we moved away from him, not because he moved. We moved, amen. And God help us that we may move closer to him, not further away. And amen. And I don't encourage you young folk to get too close together while somebody's driving, amen. Or any other time to get married, amen. And then it's all right. But I thought of tossing that in, amen. But anyway, here it said little love, if because forgiven a little. And so we talked about that. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 6. Your glorying is not good. Now you're talking about this sin they had in the church, a person doing some ungodliness, and he said, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, that is, take it out, purge, get it out. Therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. As you unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. In the Passover, it's unleavened bread, because leaven speaks of sin everywhere in the Word of God. And so here he's saying a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He's saying your glory is not good. I want to just plug us in right here that in our lives as Christian people, if we're not careful, we'll let those little sins come in. And somebody said, well, I don't drink much. I just drink a beer now and then. I just take a toddy here and there. I just, when I'm on a business trip, you know, and it's a cordial thing to do with those people. Brother Terry shared with me about a place where he works, and I don't think he'd mind me sharing this with you, but they get together a lot of times. They have something to drink, strong drink, but they found out he wouldn't drink strong drink, so now they just offer him a Pepsi or Coke or something and don't even bother to ask him about the strong. That's how we ought to be, amen. That's how the stand we ought to take for Jesus and stand up there. But let me say this. You know, Stan, I'll just take a little drink here and drink a little toddy there, that's like saying I just commit a little adultery. I don't commit adultery much, just once a month or once every 6 months, maybe once a year. And now, wouldn't that be crazy? That'd be silly, wouldn't it? And we'd all say, well, that's uncalled for. Well, and then some people say, well, I don't lie much. I just lie a little. And by the way, there's no such thing as a little lie. If it's not the truth, it's a lie. And so God said he hated lying. Did you ever read that in Proverbs chapter 6 where he said he hates lying? And so if it's not truth, it's a lie. So we need to tell that. And children, y'all need to hear me well now, because you're going to be at times you're going to tell the truth. But it's always better to tell the truth than it is to lie, because when you lie, you have to remember what kind of lie you told and tell nothing. Cover that one up. And that's why you told so many lies. You forgot what the first lie really supposed to be like. And you'll mess up and they'll catch you anyhow. Amen. So might as well just be truthful and come clean. And but not just children, moms and dads. All of us need to be truthful with ourselves. And think about now I don't drink and I don't commit adultery and I don't lie. But what about those little sins in your life? Those things that you think about, those things that hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. And they're a hindrance to you. And those little, what we call little sin, in God's eyes is just sin. And he said a little leaven the whole lot. But in the church, now here's what I really want to get to tonight. As we enter into revival and come to revival time, if we realize the fact that a little leaven the whole lump. In other words, he's telling the church of Corinth, you let this sin go and it'll affect the church. It'll spread around and it'll keep back the power of God. I pray tonight that everybody's a member of this church will get their hearts right with God, let God be God in their life, get our sins confessed, get right with God, let God help us and live for the Lord. Amen. I pray God do that. Let me close here. Turn with me, please, in the book of James chapter 3. James chapter 3. This is very important you get this. James 3, verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, boasts of great things. Hold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is a tongue among our members that defileth the whole body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, is set on the fire of hell. And every kind of beast and the birds and the serpents, things in the sea is tamed, have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, I didn't write this, God did. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, wherewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Of all the sins mentioned in the Bible, more can be tied to the tongue than anything else. Blasphemy, lying, gossiping, backbiting, and all those kind of things, all ties in with the tongue. And you and I have problems with our tongue. And we realized the other night up in camp meeting, one of the preachers preaching about the tongue and talking about that. But it's really true that we need to control and let God help us. We cannot control our own tongue. Your tongue is uncontrollable by yourself. It takes the Spirit of God, the power of God, to control your tongue and keep it. And somebody said, you know, this little old saying we tell our children, sticks and stones and sticks may break my bones, but words can never hurt me, or something to that effect. I don't know how it really goes, but something to that effect. But words can hurt you, and words do hurt people. And there have been things said and done that caused people trouble, and caused somebody told something, gossip about it, and all went to God in prayer about it, and all got right with God about it, or whatever it is you need to do, whoever it is with that you need to go to. But we don't need to let our tongues get us in trouble. We need to get them under control by the power and the help of God. Hey, we can have real revival if we just listen to what God has to say and deal with these little foxes in our lives and get these things that God calls little out. And this tongue's a little member, but I tell you, it causes a lot of trouble. It can cause you a lot of trouble. May God help us as we think about these tonight. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Let God speak to us. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Help us tonight. Lord, this thing about believing you has really gripped my heart tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name that not in my heart, but I pray the heart of this people, that you grip their hearts. They too would want to believe you. and trust you. We're asking God to speak to unsaved. We're asking God to deal with their hearts, their lives, and believing that you are right now doing that. And thank you and praise your holy name. Father, then I ask in Jesus' name that you'd help them, that they would respond to it. They'd make the choice they ought to make and come to Jesus and be saved. I pray, God, you'd help us tonight that we may not only believe you, but, Lord, that we move in that realm of confessing sin and getting things out of our lives and getting our lives where they need to be with you and loving you like we ought to love you and putting things in the rightful place and the priorities right. And, Father, that we may get these tongues under control and that you may get glory and might magnify Jesus and give you all the praise and the glory for what you do. Thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Won't you stand, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God's speaking to your heart tonight. God's dealing with your life tonight. You need to come. You need to come. You ought to come. Let God help you. Let God help you. You need to come. God's speaking to your heart. Maybe a little fox that God's pointed out in your life slipping in. That sin, little thing, something that's bothering your life. Not something maybe so big everybody knows about, but something that God's dealing with your heart and your life. And you'd like to come, just bow and talk to God about it. If you need help, you let me know. But then I'm thinking about you that's unsaved. Precious, precious tonight. You are in the sight of God. I'd like to invite you to Jesus. I'd like for you to come and say to Jesus, save me. Save me. Come into my heart, my life, and help me. Tonight, may God help you do so. I pray for that. I pray for that. Father, continue speaking to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking this way while we sing. Sing, Brother Tim. You come. You obey God. God's speaking to you. God's dealing with you. Why don't you come?